heard a lot of people use that excuse for their sin. God help. Amen. Because of their backslidden condition, they get up and say, "I am what I am by the grace of God." But let me tell you something. There's nothing, he said, Paul said, in me, it's no good thing that is in my flesh. All that's good in me is God. Amen. Stick that in my pocket. All right. Well, you've heard it said, you want the good news or the bad news. I've not got any bad news this evening. Amen. The good news is, preacher last night preached half my message. Amen. And the other good news, I'm going to preach it anyway. Amen. He just really blessed my heart. The Lord helped me. Amen. As he was preaching, and preachers know this, and you understand this. You come behind another preacher, you always think, well, they're going to preach what the Lord put on my heart to preach. Amen. And he announced his text last night, and I kind of drawed up a little bit. And I thought, well, he's going the other way. He ain't going to hit that. He preached all over it. But that's all right. And Brother Stewart, your pastor, asked me several weeks ago to come, and the Lord burdened my heart with this message, or the seed of this message anyway. And I knew then this was the way that the Lord would have me to preach. And I've been working and praying and trying to get the will of God. And last night, you know, the preacher said, he said it's all right to ask God a question, but not question God. He started preaching, and I asked God a question. I said, "God, did I miss it?" And then he assured me that I didn't. And so we're gonna turn back to our Bible, in our Bibles this evening, to Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis chapter number 6. And I'm gonna read one verse. If you're able and can tonight, we'll stand and read the scripture, reverence the word of God. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 8. Amen. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 8. The Bible says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Amen. Let us pray. Father, as we bow again before you, Lord, we're so thankful, Lord, for your good grace in our lives. Lord, we are thankful, Lord, for all the working of God that you've done, Lord. Thank you for the service this week, Lord. We thank you for the preaching that you preached to our hearts. Lord, we ask, Lord, tonight, Lord, that you would speak to us and through us tonight, Lord, that only you can do. Lord, you know our hearts, and you know the hearts of each one that's gathered here. Lord, you know every need, every burden, every care. Lord, I'm glad that your grace is sufficient for everyone. Lord, help us to preach, Lord, what thus saith the Lord. Lord, I pray you'd move in a mighty way in the hearts of your people, sinners, saints alike tonight, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd do the work that's needed to be done. I'm glad you know what that is. Lord, I pray, Lord, above all things tonight, Lord, you get glory to your high and holy name. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Thank you for standing. And I'm going to take this thought out of Genesis chapter 6, verse number 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. I want to preach on the thought of finding grace. Amen, finding grace. I've preached along these lines there at the church, just a kind of a seed thought. The Lord has given me some more thoughts upon this tonight, and I I just trust that the Lord will do a work in your heart. Amen. We hear a lot about grace. Amen. We talk a lot about grace, but sometimes we wonder about if we really know what the grace of God is. Amen. We heard a lot of definitions of grace. Amen. And I believe that they're all right. Amen. We've heard of God's riches at Christ's expense. Amen. Brother Earl Hughes, he said he believed it like this. It was something for nothing. Amen. But I like this definition. I read this, and I believe this is right. And I believe it covers all of God's grace. It is the operation or the working of God in goodness and mercy favorable toward mankind. Amen. And let me say it like this. It is totally independent from any workings or operations of man. Amen. It is the working of God. It's what God does. Amen. And that's what we need, is we need God to work in our life. We need God to move. We need God to do a work in our life. Ain't that right? The Apostle Paul, he writes over there in the book of 2 Corinthians, and I'll get back to that scripture here in just a minute, but he writes there talking about that thorn in the flesh that he received. Amen. He talks about that thorn in the flesh. He said, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength, now listen to this, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, then look what Paul says about that. And this will help us to understand what it is that grace is to you and I. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities that the power of Christ, amen, the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, God had just told him that it was grace that was sufficient for the thorn that is in his flesh. And Paul said that he would glory, that he would be glad for the infirmities of life, that power, what power? The grace of God, that the power of God would rest upon him. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I need God to work in my life. Amen. I need the one who is all powerful. I'm the one, the brother said this evening, omnipotent, amen, that is all powerful. Amen. I need him to work in my life. Amen. Listen, there's some things in my life, there's some things in your life that only God can do. Amen. Amen. And that is through his glorious and marvelous grace. Amen. So I want to look back at Genesis 6 and verse 8 there again. Look at this a little closer. And I won't be very long. Like I said, preach half my message, but I may have to go back over some of it. That's all right. But he said, Noah found grace. And I'm preaching on finding grace. Amen. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that we have to go around looking in the bushes, looking under rocks? Amen. That wasn't what Noah did. Amen. There's a lot of definitions for the word find, which we're talking about here, but it is to discover or know by experience. Amen. To discover or to know by experience. Now, I knew a lot about God. Well, I say a lot. I knew about God before I was saved. Amen. But I didn't know anything about the grace of God. Amen. I had never experienced the working of God in my life. Amen. God was working in my life all the way up until the time I was saved. I just did not realize it. But I knew about that. There's a lot of people knows about God. They know about Jesus. They know about the cross. They know about Christmas, His incarnation into this walk of life. They know about Easter. Amen. Resurrection Day. They know about that. But they just know about that. They've never experienced it. Amen. There's a lot of difference between knowing about something and knowing it by experience. It says Noah found grace. So Noah experienced the working of God in his life. Amen. He found grace. Amen. Where did he find it? Where did Noah find it? What does it say? A lot of these verses, we'll just take stop and read them real close over and over again. God will begin to speak to our heart. Where did Noah find grace? In the eyes of the Lord. Amen. He didn't find it down there by the riverside. He didn't. The preacher preached last night and talked about the wickedness and all that was going on. He didn't find the grace of God out in amongst all that. He didn't find grace out in the world, out in amongst the sin. He didn't find grace in that. He found grace in the eyes of God. Amen. Finding grace. That's what I'm preaching on. Finding grace. Amen. He found it in the eyes of God. Let me say to you this evening. If we are going to find grace, experience. Remember that word find. It means to discover or to know by experience. If we're going to find grace, we're going to find it in the eyes of the Lord. We're going to find it in God. Amen. We're not going to find it in the movie theater. Amen. We all know the Jesus movie that Hollywood's put out. Listen, we're not going to find the grace of God down there. Amen. We're not going to find the grace of God out in this world, in this world system. Amen. We're going to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. How did he find it? How did he find it? How did Noah find grace? Listen. Preacher preached this week. He preached to all those people. Amen. All those people upon planet Earth. But eight people out of all those people were saved. Amen. How did Noah find it and nobody else did? Amen. The Bible says Noah found grace. Well, if you look over in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, the Bible tells us by faith Noah being warned of God. Well, listen, where did he find it? He found it in the eyes of the Lord. He found it at that the Lord was looking down. The Lord saw, the Bible says the Lord saw that every imagination, every heart was wicked continually. The Lord was looking down, and what did the Lord do? The Bible says, being warned of God. Amen. God spoke. Amen. He spoke to Noah. Now listen. The Bible says Noah was a preacher of righteousness. But Noah came from the same lineage as you and I did. Amen. What was different about Noah that he would find the grace of God grace in the eyes of the Lord and nobody else would? First of all, God spoke to him. Amen. God spoke to him. But you know, I read that the Bible tells us that Moses was a preacher of righteousness. Amen. What did he? How long did he preach? Something like 120 years. Amen. What is preaching? It is the proclaiming of what? The Word of God. In other words, what I'm saying is all those people heard the Word of God also. But it says, by faith, being warned of God of things not yet seen. And that's, I believe, what the preacher preached last night. I believe that's what he preached. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. It's going to flood. God's going to judge this earth. He's going to judge sin upon this earth. It's going to rain. They was warned of God. But the Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet, moved. That's the difference. He moved with fear. Amen. God spoke to Noah's heart. Amen. And God, if you'll have it this way, God preached into Noah's heart and told him it's going to rain. He is going to judge the earth, and he was going to judge sin upon the earth through the flood. And he gave him the blueprints of the boat, of the ark. He told him to get to building that. Amen, because judgment was coming. And what did Moses do? And what was different Moses did than everybody else that perished in the flood? Moses moved with fear. Moses believed God. Amen. The book of James tells us, amen, you say you have faith, and he says, show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. Amen. No, I'm not saved by my works, but there's only one way that you can see my faith, amen, is by what I do. Amen. And let me tell you something. True faith, saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, saving faith will always make you move. Amen. So how did he find it? He moved with fear. He believed God and it affected him. Amen. You want to know how you can tell that you've experienced the grace of God and that you have faith? Did it cause you to move? Amen. Did it cause you to do something different? Amen. I wasn't saved because I come down to the altar. I'm not saved because I moved. Amen. I'm saved by grace, the working of God, through the avenue of faith. Because I had faith, it caused me to move and act. Noah could have said that he had faith, like a lot of folks say today. Amen. Oh, I believe God. I believe God. But if he didn't lift up that hammer, start driving them nails, he would have perished like everybody else. Amen. Finding grace, discovering, to know by experience what? The operation or the working of God. Amen. Where do we find it? We find it in the eyes of God. We find it through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in Him. It's His grace. And how did Noah find it? He found it by faith. He believed God. And I know he believed God because he built the ark. Amen. You don't know how you know you believe God? Did it change you? Amen. Now, I'm not preaching sinless perfection. Amen. I sin and come short of the glory of God. And I don't say that boastingly. I don't say that for any reason, but just to tell you that I admit that I still sin and come short of the glory of God. Amen. But listen, since I experienced the grace of God, I discovered that God was working in my life. Amen. One night, sitting back probably about where Brother Dave is sitting back there. During revival, God began to work in my heart, letting me know I was the grace. That's the grace of God. Letting me know that I was lost and undone without Him. Amen. That I needed to be saved. And I could sit back there all that time, and I could sit back there and say, God, I believe in God. A lot of people tell me, well, I believe in God. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. I believe that He died, and I did too. But it never, listen, I never did move in my heart toward God until that night. And it changed me. Amen. I said I sin and come short of the glory of God because I don't want to act like I don't. But I want to say tonight that I myself can tell a difference. Amen. There was something different about me. Amen. What was that? It was the grace of God. It was God working in my life. Amen. Can I say the grace of God it doesn't appear like God working in our life. In other words, it doesn't look like God working in our life. What about Noah? Did it look like God working and bestowing His favor and His goodness upon man? During that, what he told Noah didn't look like, did it? He said, I'm fixing to judge this generation. I'm fixing to flood the earth. Amen. The night that the Lord saved me, it didn't feel like God was favoring me. Amen. Under Holy Ghost conviction, dangled out over hell, it felt like God hated me. Amen. Let's take some Bible examples. The Philippian jailer. Amen. The Philippian jailer. Paul and Silas, after being beat, amen, with many stripes cast into the midst of the prison, amen, at midnight they prayed and sang praises. Amen. They was praising God for salvation. They was praising God for who He was, for His grace. Amen. And God rocked that jail. Amen. And what did the Philippian jailer do? Amen. And the Bible says he took his sword. He thought about just ending his life. But the Bible says he came in trembling. Amen. And he called for a light. Amen. He thought the end was at hand. Amen. Saul of Tarshish. Amen. The great Paul the Apostle, when the Lord saved him, he was on the road to Damascus, amen? And the Bible says there in Acts chapter 9, he met the Lord there in the road to Damascus. And the Bible says, and he, trembling and astonished, amen? Listen, it didn't seem like God was being good to him. Amen. What Moses moved with what? Fear. Fear gripped his heart. Did fear grip your heart the night that the Lord spoke to you? Amen. Amen. I was afraid. I was afraid. But that was the grace of God. That was God working. Amen. The grace of God working in our hearts. The songwriter writes, 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. So grace doesn't, I'm talking about finding grace. You know, a lot of times, when we lose something or when we're looking for something, somebody said, can you help me find something? And I say, well, what does it look like? What does it look like? Because I need to know what it looks like so I can find it. I'm here to tell you that grace doesn't always... Listen, grace is not a warm fuzzy. Amen. That this world's religion preaches. Amen. Grace taught my heart to fear. It is the working of God that worked in my life. Listen, it's through the prophet. Listen, all these things, all everything falls underneath God working. I'm saved by grace through faith, that not of yourself. God worked. I didn't have to. Amen. It's the operation of God. But it's applied in my heart by faith. But God, in that operation, He got me to a place that my heart feared judgment. Amen. Why? Because He convinced me that I was headed for judgment. Amen. But listen, I always knew, you know, growing up, I did things wrong, got in trouble here and there. And I broke the law and different things, and I knew that those things was not right. Amen. But I was in my heart and in my thinking, I was pretty good. I was as good as all of them down there in the church house. Amen. That was in my heart. People tell me I was a sinner. Night God spoke to my heart. He convinced me of my sin. Amen. And he because of my sin, amen. Listen, once He convinced me that I was a sinner, amen, it was no problem. The judgment was already passed. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Amen. And so fear gripped my heart. That was the grace of God. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and it was the same grace, the same working. Listen, God didn't leave me hanging there. Amen. But I want to stop there and say that's where most sinners leave God. Amen. In conviction. Amen. Think about that for a minute. Most sinners leave God in conviction. God comes to them through the preaching of the Word of God, working in their life, in their heart. Amen. Well, you think it was just coincidence that you came under the sound of the gospel somewhere? No, God worked in your life, and He got you to the place. Listen, He got you to the place to hear the gospel. He didn't make you believe the gospel, but He got you to the place where you could hear the gospel. Amen. Noah moved because he believed God. So if we're looking, want to find grace, and listen, grace is not lost. We know grace is found in the Lord. It is found in God's Word. Amen. And it is the working of God. But don't overlook the grace of God looking for something else. Israel missed the grace of God because the grace of God which bringeth salvation that hath appeared unto all men that came into the world, amen, Word was made flesh and we beheld His glory, the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. He came unto His own, and the Bible says His own received Him not. Why? Because they was looking for something else. And they missed the grace of God. Now, I know, and you know, I'm not preaching that God's through this. Right? You know that. But they're set aside. Amen? that natural branch was cut off. I know it'll be grafted in again, Romans chapter 11, but it was cut off. Why? Because they was looking for something else. There's a lot of people looking for, listen, there are a lot of people looking for a ticket to get out of hell, but they don't want nothing to do with God in their life. Amen? God, let me just tell you, God don't work that way. That's not the grace of God. God doesn't, that's not the working of God. God works in our life to bring us to Him, that we might be in Him and He in us. Amen? That He would change us, that He would do a work, use us in this life for His glory. Amen? God, a lot of people miss the grace of God because they're looking for the wrong thing. Amen? If you're trying to find something, you need to know what you're looking for. God, listen, God always comes and tells the sinner the truth. That's the reason, listen, that's the reason why the preacher preached last night. That's the reason why churches and preachers and religions all over the world are through with repentance. Amen? Because they're looking for something else. They're looking for a different way to God. One that God don't work in. God always comes to the sinner in truth about who He is. That he might admit, that He might accept, that He might receive. Listen, I had to say, yes, God, You got me. Listen, for days and years I say, no, that wasn't me. I'm not that person. Oh, but the night that God spoke to my heart and He hung me out over hell, I had, before I could ever have faith, before faith could ever work in my life, I had to say, yes, God, I'm a sinner. You know why people don't want to repent? Amen? You know why they want that doctrine out of our churches? Amen? Because they want another way other than the way that God works. Listen, if you have no need of repentance, then you have no need to have faith. If you have nothing to repent over, that means to turn from. If you all right anyway, why do you need salvation? Jesus said the well man don't need a physician. Amen? Only you're sick. That's the reason why the Bible says this is a faithful saying worthy all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He didn't come to call the righteous to repentance. Amen. Because the righteous need not repent. Amen. In their heart. They don't see no need of repentance. That's the reason why they throw that doctrine out. Amen. I'm not making salvation hard. I'm not building a wire around a wall around the cross to make it hard for sinners to come. Listen. If you will let God, the grace of God, the working of God, if you will let Him work in your heart, amen, be honest with God and just let God work in your heart. He will convince you of the truth, amen. Then you've got two things to do. You can receive the truth. Say, yes, God, You're right. Or you can reject the truth. Say, no, that's not right. Hold on a minute. But I had to repent to get saved. Amen. God worked repentance in my life. Amen. Repentance is not a work of mine or the work of man. It is. Again, repentance is part of the grace, falls underneath the grace of God. It's God that does that in your life. But we have to let Him do that. We have to receive that. We have to believe Him. Amen. Except you repent, Jesus said, you shall likewise perish. We need to know what we're looking for if we're going to find grace. We need to. God comes with the truth about who we are. Amen. Who we are. Thank God. There wasn't nobody else could tell me the truth. I was blinded by the God of this world. Amen. Blind. The Bible says the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. I could not see. I could not know that I was such a sinner. Except the light of the glorious gospel. Again, God working, getting me under the sound of that precious word. Amen. God comes in conviction. Amen. God lets us see ourselves, but I'm glad he didn't leave me there. Then he lets me see him. Amen. Well, finding grace. Have you found grace in your life? Well, look, give you about four things and I'll be through. Grace that we need to find. Amen. We need to find saving grace. Listen, I'm not preaching the works. I'm not saying go out and look for nothing. Listen, I'm Noah, when it says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, Noah wasn't out beating the bushes. Look, God done that work in his life. And he believed God. He caused him to move. And because he moved with fear, Noah and his family was saved. Because when God came to me that night, when he spoke to my heart, I don't know if anybody else he is speaking to, but I know he is talking to me. When he spoke to my heart, amen, and he convinced me, and I said, yes, Lord. Whatever you say. Listen, I come to the altar and I said all kinds of things. I confess everything I could think of, and I know I didn't get it all. But that wasn't what saved me. I moved, Brother Dave, out. The whole bench is full. I know I stepped on toes. I didn't care. Listen, I sat there the whole week and under conviction telling God I can't get up and let everybody here know I'm a sinner. Amen. And if you'd known me, you'd find humor in that because everybody there knowed me. Amen. They could look at me and tell me I needed the Lord. But I moved physically and come out to the altar, but in my heart, I moved toward God. And because God saved my soul. Amen. We need to find saving grace. That's most important. The Bible tells us that the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Amen. Now, a long time ago, I heard preachers say that means, well, everybody... God's going to give everybody one chance to hear the gospel. That's not what that verse means. Amen. For the grace of God, which bringeth salvation. Tell me what that is. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, is it not? God sending his Son into this world, being born of a woman. Amen. Born under the law. Amen. To redeem us that was under the law. Amen. It was it was his grace sending his Son that brings salvation. And that's Old Testament new, even though he hadn't come to New Testament. Preacher said the other night, it's always grace, no matter where you live. If you're going to be saved, it's going to be God that does the work. Amen. It's going to be through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can be saved. You say that bunch in the antediluvian age could have been saved? I said, yes, sir. they sure could have. Amen. You say, preacher, you believe that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men is for everybody? I say, yes, sir, it sure is. Amen. Why do you say that? Well, my Bible says, it tells us, preached last night, about their wickedness and their sin, how that it abounded and just was rampant and just on every heart continually. That's abounding to me, ain't it? Ain't it that abounding to you? Bible says where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Amen? You say, preacher, I've just lived too wicked a life to be saved. I've went too far. Listen, if you think you've went too far, you've not went too far. Amen? Only those that don't know that they went too far have went too far. Amen. You say, is there such a thing as going too far? The Bible tells us there is. Noah and the ark is prime example. There was a time when God shut the door. Nobody else got in. But while Noah was preaching the Word of God, while Noah was preaching righteousness, he was preaching judgment, he was telling those folks it's going to rain and God is going to flood this earth and judgment of God was going to fall. While he was doing that, they could have believed God and been saved. Amen. Believe that with all my heart. Amen. It's not God's will that any should perish. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you need saving grace. You need saving grace. You need to be saved by the grace of God. By letting God work in your life, repentance and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Finding grace. You can find grace. Grace was there. I preached that at church. Noah found it, so grace was there. Amen. Anywhere the Word of God is being preached, God is working. How do you know that? Because the Bible says when He sends forth the Word of God, that it's going to accomplish that when He sent it, that it would not return unto Him void, that is, without any accomplishment. God don't send His Word out in vain. Amen? But He sends it out for a purpose. Finding grace. Can I say you can find grace tonight in your storms? Amen? Listen, there's... And I ain't gonna preach them all tonight. I'll kind of watch time. I ain't going to preach all of the grace of God because I can't do that tonight. But there, you can find grace in the storm. Preacher preached wonderful message about the caves of life. Those dark, damp, lonely places that every one of us, no doubt, have been in our life. Different situations, different circumstances, no doubt. But all we've been in them. But let me tell you something. You can find grace in those things. Remember, what are you looking for? A lot of times in the storm, we look for the Lord to quit the storm, to stop the storm, to speak and the winds and waves to stop. And sometimes He does that. But listen, if we get our hearts and minds fixed and focused on that being the only answer, sometimes we will miss the grace of God in our storm. There was two storms in the Gospels, prominent storms. One of them, Jesus quieted the waves, the winds. Amen. But the other one, He didn't. But what was it? He went with them all the way through that. And can I say, listen, I don't know your storms. I don't know your caves. You probably don't know mine. But the Bible tells me, and like the preacher said tonight, when you're going through it, it's hard to see this. Amen. But the Bible says, God says, all things work together for the good. Remember what grace is? God working for your good, favor towards you. All things work together for the good of them that are called according to His purpose, that love God and are called according to His purpose. Amen. And we may not understand what God's doing. Listen, but they ain't a cave in your life. They ain't a storm that comes in your life. What the grace of God is not there. That God is not working a work for your benefit and for His glory. There's not a one. Most of the time, we look back and we see God working in the storm that we've already been through. Amen. We see a purpose. We may not see it fully, but we see that God was with us. Amen. How do you know that? Well, He promised. And again, in His Word, He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'll go with you all the way. Amen. He lives in me. He said, I'll not depart. He said, I'm not going anywhere. Grace in your storms. I'm trying to hurry. Finding grace. We need to find grace tonight. Listen, there's a lot of things we think we need in this world. And listen, there's a lot of things that we have need of. But the Lord knows those things too. But most important in our life, we need grace. We need God to work. We need the power of God on our life. We need the power. I believe if you're saved tonight and you know anything about God, I believe you agree with me tonight that more than anything, we need God in our life. We need God working. I'm not talking about just their name on the church roll and take up a little bit of real estate on the bench. I'm talking about God working in our life. Amen. Doing a work in and through us to make a difference, to be different, to be a peculiar people in this world. I believe if you know anything about God, I believe you will say, yes, we need that. Amen. We need to find grace in our storms. Amen. We need to seek, Lord, what are you doing? What? Not why, but what are you doing? What do you want to do in and through me? What do you want? What purpose are you doing? Listen, and we may not ever know fully. Somebody said, well, we'll know by and by. I'm afraid by and by we won't care. Amen? When we get the glory, we may find out, but I don't really think we'll care. Do you? Amen? We'll have other things on our mind. Finding grace in our storms. I'm glad we can find grace in our service to the Lord. Amen. We need to find grace in our service. We need to, listen, accept God, speak through His Word and the Holy Spirit of God. Every bit of this week is in vain. Amen. That means it is of no use. It is a total waste of time. Amen. We need God's grace. We need to find God's grace in our own personal service for God. I read this, and I'm going to read it again. It's over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. It's that portion of Scripture that Paul accounts those thorns in the flesh, amen, that God allowed to be put there. Or he said, and lest I should be exalted above measure. That means lifted higher than I ought to be. He said, through the abundance of revelations because of what God had showed the Apostle Paul. He said, lest I get the big head, lest I get pride in my life because I've had abundant revelations. He's caught up, in this chapter we find that he's caught up to the third heavens and seen and heard things that was not lawful to be uttered. Amen. He said, to keep me from getting higher in my own estimation than I ought to be, he said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. And you know, you may think, you know what that is, and it really doesn't matter. But all that matters is it was a thorn in the flesh. It was something that affected Paul physically. Amen. And it reminded him of who he was. Amen. And it also reminded him of who he wasn't. Amen. And he said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. He prayed three times, asking the Lord to take it away from him. And the Lord said unto him, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect or complete in weakness. In other words, the Lord told Paul after he said, Lord, can you take this away from me? It is really hindering my life. It's really affecting the ministry. And the Lord said, and he said that three times. He asked the Lord thrice to take that away from him. The Lord said, he didn't tell him no. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. What is it? He said, that's enough. It meets the need. What need? Whatever need arises. Amen. Grace is sufficient. If the need is small, it meets it. If the need is great, it meets it. It's sufficient. He told Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient. He said, for my strength, that's the Lord's strength now. He said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. In other words, Paul, if you get up here on this pedestal and you start thinking of yourself as number one preacher just because I let you in on a few things, let you see a few things, and you get the big head, he said, and you think that you're strong and mighty because of those things, he said, you ain't going to be worth nothing. Amen. But what you need, Paul, in the ministry is my strength. Amen. He said, my strength is made perfect or complete. He said, that's what you need. And he said, the only way you can have that, now get this evening, the only way that you can have that is in weakness. Amen. I'll come back to that thought in just a minute. But Paul, when he heard that, he said he changed his mind. Amen. He said, most gladly, therefore will I glory in mine infirmities, or what I was suffering, or what that messenger of Satan, whatever it may be. He said, I'll most gladly. Take pleasure in that. I most gladly glory in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. We're talking about the ministry. We're talking about service. Amen. We need to find the grace of God for our service. One more point, and I'm through. James chapter number 4. Verse number 6, the Bible says, But he giveth more grace. More grace. He giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Let me remind you, he's talking to saved folk, the brethren. He said, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Amen. We need to find grace to be revived. Amen. To be lifted back up. Not lifted in pride, but back to the place of blessing with God. Back to a right walk. Amen. You say, preacher, I thought once saved, always saved. Yes, we are, but once saved, out of fellowship. Amen. That's what was going on in the book of James right there. He, if you read on back on chapter number 4, he said, from whence comes wars and fightings among you? Those are strange. I mean, those are strong words for conflict. Wars and fightings among you. He's talking about among the brethren. They was fussing and fighting, and as much as he was calling them wars, and he was telling them there, and it was because of their selfishness. Look at you know what I want and what I need, and listen, anytime you get a group together with that attitude and that heart, there's going to be some fussing. There's going to be some, I don't care if it's in the home, if it's in the church, or on the job. Listen, when we get together with the attitude of me and mine and what I want, amen, there's going to be some fussing. That's what was going on. And so James was writing unto them. And he says, do you think the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us, and that little s, that's our spirit, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. It desires to envy. It desires, listen, I want what you've got. I want to be who you are. I want the recognition you get. That's what our spirit, that's what the old nature wants. That's what he says. But he, thank God, he says, but God giveth more grace. Amen? More grace. You know, preacher, all the grace that's went out in this Bible, does God have any more for me? Yeah, he gives more grace. Amen? He said, for wherefore he saith, now, listen, he said, God resisteth the proud. How do I get more grace? How do I get grace to be revived? How do I get grace to be lifted up back to the right relationship, right fellowship with God? How do I get this more grace? He said, God resisteth the proud. That word resist is a military term. It means to stand and put up a resistance against the enemy. God resisteth the proud heart. We ain't going to get anything from God with a proud heart. You won't find any grace. You will not. Listen, that's why that Antediluvian age perished in the flood. Listen, that's why sinners drop off into hell every day. Amen. Because listen, you may be here tonight and you've been in this service this week, and the Holy Ghost of God has been knocking on your door, letting you know you need to be saved, telling you who you are. But because of your pride, because of you, you say, well, I'm that's not me. I'm not like that. I don't want nobody else to think that. That's pride in your heart. And the Bible says that he resisteth the proud. That's the reason why sinners drop off into hell. Amen. That's the reason why they won't come to God. They won't humble themselves before a holy God and say, God, I'm wrong and you're right. Amen. Amen. God resists the proud, but oh, he giveth grace to the humble. What does it mean, humble? Does it mean, oh, I ain't no good. I ain't worth nothing. No, that's not humility at all. Amen. It is seeing yourself as you really are beside God. One that is higher than you. Amen. So he tells them. He says, this is grace to be revived. Right here. He's telling them how to find grace. First of all, he says, submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Humility. Submit. Amen. Come underneath him. Satan, Lucifer, he said, I will ascend to that pride. He says, submit. Come underneath him. Amen. Recognize who you are, your place. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil. Stand against. Listen, the devil say, The devil said, oh, you shall surely not die. Resist the devil. And he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God. What does that involve? That involves moving. Does it not? I draw nigh unto you, preacher. I've stepped down here and I've come down here. I'm close to him. I had to move. What does it take to move? Faith. Believe in God. I believe God. Listen, the church of Laodicea, they said, we be rich and increased with goods, and we have need of nothing. You know what they got? They got nothing. Amen. But if we submit ourselves to God, we draw nigh to him. We believe what God said. You know why? A lot of times, listen, God has to send revival. Preacher can't send revival. Church can't bring revival. It is God's working. Amen. But we can get a condition to be revived. Amen. We can do that. That does not bring revival. It's God doing the, understand that. God does the work. But listen, we got to believe that we need revival. Because if we think we need nothing, then we are not going to draw nigh unto God. Remember where we find grace? We find it in the eyes of the Lord. We got to draw unto him if we're going to get it. So draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. That's a promise. Now listen, he says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. The picture is, James is writing to Jewish believers here. The picture is the Old Testament tabernacle. Amen. Coming to God involved, they had, you know, in that tabernacle, that court, ever moved forward, got them closer to the holies of holies, drawing nigh to God. They come by that laver. They had to wash. They can't come no farther. He says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. The Bible says in James, he says, a double-minded man is like the waves on the ocean. He's unstable in all of his ways. Amen. Humble yourselves. No, verse 9, he says, be afflicted. That's strange talk to be revived, ain't it? Didn't we preach just a few minutes ago, maybe 30 now, I don't know what it was. Didn't we just preach a little bit ago that grace finding grace is not always what we think it is? Amen. And if we don't know what we're looking for, we're going to miss it. Amen. Revival, listen, revival has to do with bringing us back to a closeness
with God in that walk in the blessedness and in a fellowship, a close fellowship with God. Revival has nothing to do with slinging from the chandeliers and walking the backs of the beaches. Amen? Amen? I like to get happy in the Lord as well as anybody else. But let me tell you something. That's not revival. Revival's getting right with God. Amen? Revival's getting close. Revival is bringing you back to that place that you once was. And he said, be afflicted and mourn. Man, that's what he was telling those folks there. For them to get back in fellowship, for them to be back right with God, they was laughing and wasn't, you know, everything was just a big joke. Everything was just, he says, you need to be afflicted. What's going on in yours' life? That you ought to be mourning. You ought to be sobbing. You ought to be shedding tears. Because of the sin that's come in your life and the fightings amongst the brethren. He said, you shouldn't be laughing. Amen. It all has to do with our attitude. And the realization of who we are. He says, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Tears will not bring revival. Remember, God only brings revival. But these things he's saying here is an outward manifestation of an inward moving in your heart. I wasn't smiling the night that I got. I was tore up. Amen. I was afflicted. Amen. He said, be afflicted and mourn and weep and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. He's telling them, he said, you ain't got no business to have joy in your life with the sin that's in your life. That's what he's telling them. What's going on outwardly is not manifested what's on the inside. Because listen, you can't have joy. God says that in 1 John chapter 1, he says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we walk with him and we walk in darkness, the Bible says that we lie and do not the truth. Because God don't walk with darkness. God is light, and in him is no darkness. He said, if that's what's going on, then you're lying. That's what was going on then. They was walking in darkness, but they was laughing it up and acting like they was happy in the Lord. And James was telling them, he said, you ought to be mourning. You ought to be afflicted. You ought to be weeping, amen, because of what's going on. What are you saying? I'm saying we need to look at ourselves. We need to look at our situation. We need to be truthful about our walk, where we're at with God. As long as we're rich and increased with goods, have need of nothing, we ain't going to get anything. He said, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and you shall be. For revival. How does that come? It doesn't come in a proud look. It doesn't come saying, Lord, we're doing pretty good. Numbers are up. Treasure's up. Seems like going all right. There's no true joy. There's no inward joy. Joy coming from the Lord. Finding grace. That's the message tonight. Finding grace. You found grace in the eyes of the Lord, salvation. Have you found grace that saves? Remember what finding means? It means to discover or to know by experience. That is being saved. John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's salvation, knowing God. Not knowing about Him, but knowing Him, experiencing the grace of God, knowing Him personally. I know about a lot of people, but until I meet them face to face, I've never known them experientially. Do you know? Have you found grace to save you? Amen. Saint of God, are you going through a storm? And I say you need to find grace. Amen. You need to listen. You need to know tonight. You need to know that God's working in your life. And I am not by no way or means belittling or counting your storms small, because your storms are great to you and my storms. But there's grace to be found. Let me assure you, God's working in your life. Amen. You found grace to serve? Amen. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you the branches. Except you abide in me, you can't do anything. You may put on a show, and you may put on a good outward look, but the judgment seat of Christ, is it going to withstand the judgment? If it's not God working through you, then it won't. It'll be burned up like wood, hay, and stubble. I don't know your heart tonight, but I know Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. He found it. God spoke to him. Believe God. You know, that's the only thing God's ever asked us to do. You know, we wire ourselves out doing things. But think about that. God has only asked us to believe Him. Believe Him. Believe Him in salvation. Believe that Jesus died on the cross. Amen. Shed His blood for atonement for your sin. Your storm, believe that He is with you and will never leave you or forsake you. In your need, believe that He is your sufficiency, that He knows what you need, and He is able. Listen, I didn't even hit this point, but when Paul was preaching to them Corinthians there, he was preaching to them there about the grace of giving. Amen. He is gathering up offering for those poor saints in Jerusalem. And he didn't ask them to give of their abundance, but he asked them just to give of their need, of their want. And he said, God is able to make all grace abound to